Town Rural Zoning Board, Wednesday, October 24th, 2018.
We'll call this meeting to order. Does come, but we haven't heard anything.
No, I haven't heard anything.
Well, let's get started. Do we have anything on the agenda besides the appeals?
Nothing else, just number 811 and 812.
Nothing for the shops?
No, nothing, no.
All right, so we'll start with the review of the minutes from last week, last month, I'm sorry.
I already just noticed that the header's wrong. It says August on it, so nobody needs to tell me.
It's on the wrong month.
Okay. I do have one minor correction on the first page, second paragraph up. It says Mr. Martin knows that this design does include access to the back. I believe he said does not. Is that correct?
Thank you.
Is that right? That's important. But mine. Mine role. Anything else?
No, I can catch on.
Have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve those.
Second?
I was good.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So, we'll move on. Appeal number. Appeal number 811, which is request of Christopher Music of 71 Harrison Avenue, Southeast Falls, New York, 12803 for a special use permit pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, in the schedule regulations for an R5 1-2 family residential agriculture district. Applicant is proposing to open a camp and or recreational vehicle park with bed and breakfast lodgings at property located at 342 and 352 Mansfield Road, Camden, New York, 12831, and designated 78-1-3.2 and 78-1-3.12 on the town assessment map. Okay. Where's the applicant? Tell us who you are. And I'm going to ask everybody who speaks to please tell us who you are and where you live.
Just looking fine right here, as I said.
Yeah, that's fine.
My name is Christopher Music. I'm an applicant.
Okay. And tell us about your project here.
Sure. So I've recently brought it's a park model RV, it's considered. It's got a log, like a log cabin side into it, kind of looks like a little cabin on wheels. And recently brought that to my farm, and I'd like to use that as an Airbnb, as a bed and breakfast location for guests.
Now, the application basically says you want a campground, a camp for recreation, vehicle park.
Well, the use title in the zoning schedule for the R5 zone is RV park / campground. Okay. So it's coming in under that title. And as per that use schedule, it's subject to a special use permit, and that's why it's here.
Okay, so basically, what you have a small farm there.
Correct.
And what you're looking for is the ability to have a lodging.
That's right. Okay, sir.
I guess I'm trying to understand a little bit more. I mean, it's not a campground. You're not talking about having people camp there.
Not necessarily. It's more or less. It's actually a really nice cabin that wouldn't be considered camping at all. But since it's on wheels, and it's considered an RV, this seemed like the most appropriate way to go about this.
Yeah.
It is much like an RV park in that it's transient stay, lodging, mm-hmm. within the confines of, you know, a recreational vehicle. You know, what meets the definition of a recreational vehicle, meaning, you know, it's a lodging facility on wheels with an axle. Mm-hmm. So that, by definition, is a RV park, you know, as per the code.
Well, as I was reading your description, you are looking to tentatively increase the number of, you don't want to have just this one. You're saying tentative future plans would be for more.
If I do anything further, it wouldn't necessarily be an RV or anything on wheels. It would be more or less, then you kind of would get into more of like a primitive camping situation where I would have maybe a need to or something that is low impact. So, you know, simple structures that would, you know, accommodate.
Okay, because what I was reading is this tentative future plans. Unique structures, non-permanent structures, 3 to 4 units. So that, to me, sounds like what you've got there now. That's not what you're talking about?
No, it would be something that I made, that I built myself. It wouldn't be anything that was manufactured and brought there on wheels. It would be more or less like a into, mm-hmm. or see at state campsites, maybe something like that, but with a much more maybe creative and luxurious feel to it, something that's unique.
And Jim, you determined that this is a camper.
Yeah, I mean, by, like I just said, based on, you know, the components of that kind of transient lodging, if you will, it did meet the definition of RV and campground. You know, that said, I did prepare some staff notes for you. You know, and I shared those with the applicant, and it was a member of the audience who asked for a copy as well, so I made a copy for them. And you know, I think they're 4 pages in length. And the other thing I provided you was with a copy of an aerial photograph that's available through the county RPS data, and a physical, you know, constraints map of hydrology and topography. And there is a presence of a DEC classified wetland that runs, you know, through both of these parcels. Basically on the...
Is that the blue?
Yes. And then the hatched area around that is indicating a DEC buffer around that wetland. That's a 100-foot buffer around the edge of the wetland. So not that that's the end of the world, but, you know, I you know, typically when you see this, you want to see the presence of a DEC permit or at least some indication from DEC as to where they stand with... you know, permitting of this, of any activity within that buffer area.
May I just add that the lots, I purchased those two lots last year from a gentleman who had previously subdivided those lands for housing development. So there was approved housing sites on both the lots that I bought, which were also in that 500-foot zone. So I'm assuming it's been vetted to some degree. I think my location is different, so there might be some additional vetting that might have to happen. But both of these lots have been approved prior to four building.
For one house?
Correct.
On each lot. Right.
And how many acres are each of those lots?
The one in question is 15 acres. Both of the ones that are highlighted there, 15 acres each.
Approximately 7.5 acres each?
No.
They're both 15 acres each.
They're 30 acres,
and I have additional 40 acres in the back behind these two lots.
And the one in question is the one in the south?
The one in the north. I'll also add that I also have my personal RV there now, which I plan to use simply as an additional revenue source until I got this particular RV up and going. It's kind of going to fund my development, and then at that point, it kind of takes that off.
It looks like you have a lot of questions.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess, you know, I sounds like a neat thing to do, but I also, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of background work to be done to do this.
Sure. I guess the basic implication of my notes are that there's in my mind, it boils down to basically two things. First of all, as benign and innocuous as this use may appear to be, there's still a certain level of planning, you know, that should be done, particularly when you're looking at a marginal site, or could be a marginal site. I'm not sure, but in my mind, this type of use here that's being proposed is going to require, you know, a lot of information to be shared. You know, I would suggest, you know, you need a survey. We should have a survey boundary of the wetland. We should understand where that boundary falls in relationship to the proposed uses. We need to see the nature of the disturbance that's going to occur in that buffer. You know, is it permitted? First of all, drainage is a concern here, the extent of impervious area. There's a lot of site planning to be done here. I know I can appreciate, you know, the interest in keeping costs down, you know, for the applicant, and we always try and do that regardless of the application. We're not looking to make this an expensive process just for the sake of making it expensive. But at some point, you do need to have information.
I'm concerned about the entrance.
And then, I'm getting that. Then the other thing is the safety and adequacy of that end, that accessway on the curve of the road. And then the other thing, and it's somewhat of a subjective discussion, is the character of the neighborhood. You know, it is in the heart of the town's agricultural district. So, you know, that's something that, you know, requires some further consideration in my mind as a staff person. So those are where my staff comments are attempting to go. And Gary, we do have a couple of written comments that came in on this too. When you want to read them into the record, we're ready to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to read them in?
Yes.
Okay, this is two letters came in. One came to the office yesterday, hand-delivered, and I'll read it verbatim. The Zoning Board of Appeals, Town of Morrell, Saratoga County, State of New York, October 24th, 2018. Because of our absence at this public hearing, please accept this letter regarding appeal number 811. We would like to go on the record as being strongly opposed to this variance for the following reasons. One, the project doesn't comply with the current agricultural zoning. This property has been zoned agricultural for many years. Disagree with the change. Two, primitive sites. No bathrooms, concerns about waste and garbage, additional septic concerns for the entire project. Manual waste removal from the rented RVs does not appear to be a good idea. Renters could decide to empty tanks themselves, causing further problems. Three, entrance to the property, extremely unsafe. There have been numerous accidents on this curve. Sweet Road is closed off so that traffic does not enter the curve. Having an entrance to a proposed RV park would increase traffic and potential accidents. Four, with the requested variance in place, with other potential uses of the property would be, what other potential uses of the property would be allowed that don't comply with the present existing zoning? This is signed David Nass, 200 Sweet Road, Gansford, New York, and Marie Nass, 200 Sweet Road, Gansford, New York. That came to the office yesterday. And then this evening, I think a member of the audience here handed me a handwritten note and asked this to be read into the record. October 24th, 2018, Zoning Board of Appeals of the Town of Moreau. I am opposed to the proposed development of the RV Park Camp project that Christopher Music is presenting to your board tonight for your approval. It is my opinion that this is inappropriate for this neighborhood. Signed, I think it's Barbara Hurst. Hurt? Hart? Hurst?
Holcomb.
Holcomb. I'm sorry. Yes, Holcomb. I'm sorry. Barbara Holcomb.
She had a broken hand.
I can appreciate that then. You did well writing this. Barbara Holcomb, 101 Sweet Road, Gansford, New York, 12831, and her phone number is provided. That's it. That's all we have for written comment.
It is an allowed use. Just to be clear, I mean, it's by special permit that the town board at some point decided it was allowed as a RV park, an RV park. Mm-hmm. So I can see what people are saying. You know, folks are saying that it fits the zone, providing they decided it's in the special use permit is you need to review it more carefully to make sure it meets your criteria. One of the concerns I have is you want to start small and you want to build up whatever you're thinking down the road, but without a plan that tells us what you're going to plan to do, I have a hard time approving anything.
I feel very similar as far as the gym's part, a little bit of a lack of information at this point. We have an idea. Unfortunately, the immediate plan and the sketches here don't really match the patch map ideas that I have. Again, the third one, these don't match in shape or size, so I'm not sure the scale. I have no reference, no proximity, and the end of the road. I have no idea where you're proposing to put a road in. And then there's a sidebar. I don't know the number of applicants that this would be, the number of people would be in here. But I too am concerned with as far as the waste and the manual waste aspect and how that's going to actually physically be addressed. I mean, typically when you go to RV parks, you have all those amenities that they have. There's power, there's waste, there's showers, there's units of that. So I do have, I always get a little bit nervous when there's like 30 people on the site and not really have the adequate amenities to take care of those 30 people. So again, you're not starting with 30, but that's what I mean. Without having an actual survey site plan telling me what your proposed idea is, it makes it very difficult for me to assess this one.
I apologize. I got the application. There was minimal questions. I wasn't quite sure how to answer them. I did the best that I could.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around.
That was the like blown up photos of the actual area that I was planning on developing. So,
do you have a copy of Jim's staff notes?
He just got it.
I do now. Yeah.
So there's a lot more questions.
Yeah, this is helpful. I wish I had gotten this sooner.
Well, time being what it is, if I get those done earlier, I provide them earlier. I mean,
I think this plan is pretty good too, as far as the visual you have going on. So this is really good. I think it's more than you can crack the data what we're.
Sure.
That's a vision.
I was asked to kind of think about my future plans, but I don't really think that far ahead. This is like my focus right now was the park model RV. Mm-hmm. So I added the additional ones just for the sake of saying that this is a low probability of this happening. Mm-hmm. So I don't have all the answers for what's to come. I live, day by day.
This is very helpful because you understand the intent.
Yeah. So maybe I'll reduce the scope to just the park model RV. Just worry about that. And if I want to expand further, then we'll come to that as a.
The other thing I would suggest is, that again, the implication of my notes are that this is there's a lot of technical aspects to this proposed use in this environment. I would also recommend that this be referred to the planning board. When you do feel like you have a complete application, if you refer to the planning board because they're used to dealing in this realm a lot more than you are. It might be worthwhile getting their recommendations and review.
Absolutely.
And it's, yeah, John's right, it's got to go to county planning as well. We don't have that back yet.
And well, the other thing, if you draw it back to just shoot that one RV, then I'm not sure you have an RV park here. And I'm not sure then we can approve it. I mean, because if there's, those are single family lots, and you know, then you're talking about subdividing or whatever.
No, I don't think he's talking about that. I think it's still transient use, you know, and it's still for a fee, you know. It's
he would have to have something like this to be able to have.
Yeah, even if it's one, it still requires.
It would have to be, you know, because it's, you can't even, like, by our code, we can't have, I can't move.
I mean, there's all sorts of things that come to mind. There's power to these sites, the hookups, septic systems, what's the nature and design and engineering behind those, the water lines, the nature and design behind those, what is the maintenance going to be of these things. And the other thing I allude to is, this may be appropriate to come back for an annual renewal. You know, if to make sure that maintenance practice, or once every 2 years, I don't know, but to make sure that maintenance practices are being followed. Garbage removal, trash collection, you know, a lot of moving parts here. I mean, I know it sounds like a simple thing, but when you start thinking about it, it's really not so simple. And the other thing I should point out, we had a notice public hearing for tonight. I would recommend you open that. And the comments may provide even more insight as to, you know, additional information needed.
Do you have any more questions or comments or anything?
I kind of respectfully disagree that this really isn't a simple project. I think I can simply run electricity from the road through National Grid, have that inspected. I can even run water from my existing well.
Again, what's the flow rate? What's the energy? What kind of stuff? Yeah. How many units are we running? That's all the engineering design, though. It's not up to any of us here. That needs to be stamped design drawn, and that's what I was getting to earlier. This is not going to go by.
Right.
I'll run a line out of water to it. You need something that's actually a bit more planned out, that's been reviewed by somebody who's done the environmental assessment here and actually looked at it and said, where are you going to put the road? Where's going to have possible parking? How's it going to turn around? I will tell you, already read two of them, they've mentioned about Sweet Road. That's going to be a big point of attention to where you locate your access into here and out of here. So whether you have two or one, that's what all these we thought about. And again, as far as just running electrical line off National Grid, that's not a 5-minute process. And again, that all has to be designed. We're not coming out there until you've done that through that process. Same thing with the road cut. There's another process in the road cut. You can't just put a road in on Route 32 without. That's going to be a process too. So I think you should get involved with a professional survey or somebody who does this work and can give you some guidance and advice on how you should lay this out to best suit your needs and fit what you're trying to do with this place. Once we have that plan, we can evaluate what's real and what isn't.
So I should have all of these questions answered that are on this.
Well, without Chris, if you come in, and I thought you were going to review the section of the code that's available online. There is the review criteria, and the application requirements are in the code. That's what these staff notes are built around. It makes reference to 149-30 through 149-32 of the code. That you can go home tonight on your computer and pull that right up. It's at the bottom of our town website, the homepage, and that'll give you a lot of insight. The other thing I would strongly recommend you do is at the same time look at the site plan review requirements, which are on a separate list, because that's essentially what this is going to be. It's going to be a site plan that the planning board normally looks at, and it's a technically oriented exercise. Matt's right. There's a lot of engineering that goes into something like this to do it to meet the code requirements. Again, I don't mean to make this expensive or laborious, but there are some real questions that need to be answered that require, you know, engineered solutions.
Now, what about the comments from the neighbors about the traffic and the access points?
Traffic is one of the main standards that we use to review a special use permit.
So,
it's a major
part of it. So, this has been, it's been a farm for years, and people come and go for various reasons, horseback riding, boarding horses.
And so when it's a private residence, we don't really do a whole lot. DOT approves the driveway, and that's it. But if it's a business, we can make, we're talking about business.
It's a business.
Then business is our secondary reviews, and we do worry about in and out.
But a farm, is it considered a business? Or?
I don't believe so. Not in the same sense.
Well, if you're proposing a highway access, depending on the jurisdiction,
do you mean additional access or using the same access that's currently there?
Even if it's using the same access that's currently there, that access, I'm sure, was developed in the interest of perhaps a farm, farm equipment occasionally coming and going.
Right.
Now we're talking about a commercially oriented use where your guests may be leaving and entering that site several times a day. So the nature of that access is going to change, and that's a state highway. The state has jurisdiction over access to that highway and how it's used.
Okay.
So I certainly think DOT needs to be approached and a letter provided as to their review of that change of use. Maybe the geometry of your access driveway is fine now. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'm not a traffic engineer.
Okay.
But those are the types of things that have to be looked at in terms of the frequency of the vehicles coming and going from that site and the nature of those vehicles. Are these going to be trucks, SUVs, are they going to have trailered vehicles at any time? Those are all things that...
A turn rate is coming off that curve trying to get a 30-foot, 50-foot RV behind you in there.
Well,
there's something to be considered.
Yeah, okay. There's not going to be any RVs being pulled in and out.
But that needs to be specified.
Right. That's where we need the clarification.
That's where we need more information.
Then,
because right now as a farm, I've got horse trailers coming and going too.
Yeah.
Right.
Then in response to the subjective nature of this, you go to this idea of neighborhood character. So what is the appearance of these structures? I think the board would like to see a picture of this, park model RV. Is there a landscaping plan? What is the nature of that landscaping plan? Are we introducing, vegetation and trees that are natural to the area? It's the idea of trying to make this blend and not be adversely impacting the neighborhood. And these are all things. I can appreciate the need to try and do this economically, but at some point there's baseline information that needs to be provided.
Understand. And that's certainly my intention, is to make it blended. In fact, you probably won't even see these things. They're going to be in the woods. You won't even be able to see them from the road. So it's certainly going to be low impact, and it's going to blend in very nicely. But I'll certainly outline that in my plans.
Great. So now we've heard you've heard us.
Yeah.
This is a public hearing, so we're going to open this to the public so we can see it. And I would ask everybody to please identify yourself, where you live, and address the board, please. Yes.
Yes, hi. My name is Dan Hutchins. I live right on Gansford Road. I want to say perhaps north of the Candy Canis turns that we're talking about. I literally found out about this meeting 2 hours ago. And so I'm here because I'm interested in what may or may not happen. But I'm disappointed that I had no mailing, nothing. We had a citizen actually notify us of this meeting this evening. So other than that, I would not have found out about this, nor would some other people. So I don't know if I am technically too far away from that, which I'm not even a full mile down even the road. So I don't understand why we weren't notified.
The requirement is 500 feet. I have the list of neighbors here that were notified within that distance. And the problem in this setting is the lots are so large. 500 feet doesn't take you very far.
One or two neighbors
right.
away.
Right.
But I mean, you do understand that people further than 500 feet away may have.
Yes, yes. No, I'm just telling you the.
Yes, and I appreciate what you said earlier about perhaps maybe we can open up that to other people. You know, that would be good. I don't know this gentleman, but I will say that it seems to me even he would probably admit now that he's very vague on the facts of what he's presenting to us. It almost seemed that he wasn't even sure. First there was a log cabin of some sort, then there's a lean-to. My thoughts of the lean-to is, you know, kids camping under some sticks and stuff like that. This is not the kind of stuff that we want to be bringing to our neighborhood. I know he has so much more that he has a lot of hurdles that he has to probably wasn't even aware of. But this gentleman and you gentlemen up there have introduced to him the things that he has to do, prepare, and lay down. But I think that he needs a very fine-tuned plan of what he's going to do, what we can all expect to even consider something like this. I mean, this is just babbling of the mouth of, well, I think I might, well, if that doesn't work, then I might, can't have that.
We need to, I think Mr. Martin's given him a very good outline of him explaining that to him, so I think he understands that.
I just think that there will be a lot more people if we open this up to more people up and down the road. May have a lot of concerns that this is not something
open to the entire town, but we can notify only so many people. So you can only follow rules and that sort of thing. But you please feel free to, yeah. You know, we meet on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and it's advertised in the paper.
What I've recommended in the past when this happens is if with email now so prevalent, if you could give, you know, send me a quick note and we can begin to build an email file for notification, I'm happy to do that. So it's, you know, we're meeting the bear requirement, but I understand your point. So these are ways that we can, as a practical matter, get the word out to those who want to know. So,
and if down the road this gentleman comes back with a more specific plan or more things that this is what I want to do, are what kind of we must be able to hold him to this is what you stated, this is what's going to happen, and we're not starting to drift away and adding more, or I mean, we must, whatever he presents, it is passed down the road.
We must be able
to hold him to that and not just. Well, I have this, and I'm going to start doing this.
That's why it has to be detailed. That's what's so important about what he proposes.
Yes.
It has to be very detailed.
Yes.
Because then you're able to maintain that. This is what was agreed to, nothing else.
Fair enough.
And so that's what we're stressing here tonight is detail.
And I should say that's the point behind a special use permit. It's not just a term. Special use permit implies that the board is searching for quantifiable, enforceable thresholds and standards that can be held to and measured,
yes.
Rather than, you know, subjective, you know, items on, you know, I don't know what, but you know, the driveway has to be here. There has to be this many plantings. The width of the driveway is X. There are no more allowed campsites than this.
Right.
Hours of operation are this.
Yes.
You know, all these types of things.
Yeah.
So it's. That's the implication of a special use permit, is that thresholds and standards are established that the applicant is held to and we can enforce against.
And again, I'm sorry, were we talking about 30 acres that you were going to do, or was it 15 acres that we're going to...
It was just 15 acres that I'm putting one unit on.
At this moment. But then
and let's keep the questions to the board, please.
Oh,
and we, I just have to say, in all fairness to the applicant,
yes.
We have many people, not many, but there are people in this town that will just put up an RV and say, I'm renting out. And we know that. And I'm sure that's in every town. So we're glad you're here, you know, and we appreciate that. And that gives us the opportunity to review this without really enforcement action.
Well, I have to say that this is here because my understanding is this did occur to some degree over this past summer.
I just moved. I moved this model here about a month ago. But I've had my personal RV on my farm.
So So it was somewhat of an enforcement action that got this here, but in also deference to Mr. Music, as soon as he was approached about, you know, the need to comply, he did so very willingly, and he got his application right in. As a matter of fact, I think he's had about a week and a half to prepare this. So that affected, I think, you know, the amount of information we got given the amount of time we had. But he has been very compliant, and he's been very cooperative in doing what we asked for.
So if we were to approve something, it would be very closely defined. Okay. Yes.
John McAllister. I live at 363 Gansford Road. I live directly across the street from the proposed whatever this is. Let me start by saying this is nothing against you. I understand what you're trying to do. I believe old work sold you a bill of goods. That is a swamp back there. I looked at maps and things over the years on that, because I considered buying that from them a number of years ago. And it is a big swamp. It's all it is. And to propose to put an RV park, even if it feels lean-tos or tenting or something along that lines, you have no way to put an infrastructure plan in place to remove wet waste, dry waste, as far as, like, you know, crackers, whatnot. Garbage removal, because it's just too easy to throw it out in the woods. It attacks rodents and everything else in the area. My big concern is, obviously, my property values. I live directly across the street. The plan that was submitted, again, this is nothing personal. My plan to build the garage I have there now was more detailed. It's just not going to cut it. The fact that it's 15 to 30 acres shouldn't really matter. It's all swamp. And the other part is, if you put in an RV park where it's going to be tented, the type of people that you end up drawing in, especially in this area, is going to be your summertime campers who just want to get smoking pot and getting high and everything else and drinking. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have concerts at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to have to call the wall in to get people to go to sleep. I mean, this is a neighborhood. I mean, I've had things denied for me. I wanted to put a chicken farm on my place once. And it was denied. So be it. It is what it is. My point of it is, that's going to ruin the property values in the area. I understand what you're trying to do, but that's just a terrible idea.
So
there's just no physical way.
Property values, and yes, this has to do with the basically the nature of the neighborhood.
I firmly believe O'Rourke sold that property because he could not figure out a way to put any kind of septic system.
But your main point is you are concerned about the property values.
Oh, absolutely. Who wouldn't be?
The wetland, you know, the
sure. But it is just a big swamp. I know this because the river behind my house that goes between our two properties lets out onto this. I mean, that's where it all goes. It's a swamp.
Okay.
I mean, it's all cattails for as far as I can see into the woods.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
That's my opinion.
Any other
public comments?
Yes.
I'm Ron Zimmerman on 327 Gansford Road, and I apologize. I haven't had the privilege of reviewing the staff notes that have been prepared tonight. One of the things that the zoning board and then ultimately the planning board would be interested in as well, that Mr. Martin alluded to, is the nature of the property today and what's going on today in concert with what that ultimate plan wants to be. So Mr. Music's doing a good job of trying to figure out a way to take this park model and have it be a conforming use. There's other RVs on the property today, one being Mr. Music's personal RV, I believe. There's a couple more that are roadside, and then there's another one that's deeper into the woods. It's not necessarily on the parcel that Mr. Music might be focusing his application to, but it's a contiguous and adjacent property. So that would be, I think, part of what the full scope of the site plan review would want to take into consideration. So as you look at your your staff notes and take into consideration all of the full scope of the site, I think it would want to also consider area that's already been cleared and what we do with a lot of the debris that was left behind that from that. Not a question. Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes.
I'm Adele Kurtz. I live in the town of Monroe, but I'm here on behalf of Ann Ted Cousier, who live at 327 Gansford Road. And I just would like some clarification. The applicant had indicated that the north parcel was in R1, R2, and the southern parcel was in R5. Is that correct, or are they all R5?
They're all R5.
Okay. So it's a special use permit that would be required. And let me just... The thing that I have that is of great concern is that a camp or an RV park, as it's defined in our town code, is a site that has four or more campsites or vehicles that are parked there. It's my understanding that he now has indicated that he's looking to have one unit parked there, which would not make it a special use permit. It would bump it completely out of the Zoning Board of Appeals purview, is my understanding. If he has a site plan that it's four or more, then it would bump it back in. But as we stand here today, he's indicated that he only wants one unit. The original plan that I looked at did indicate that he had a cottage on the property now. It's my understanding that the cottage is permanent. It is not a mobile unit. It is not something that you would park or a trailer, which, again, would not be considered one of the sites that's applicable to a RV park or campground. I completely understand what he's trying to do. I mean, Airbnb is a really hot business right now. You get a lot of people who are transient. They want to come to the area. There's not a lot of oversight to the business, though. It's something that is all done online. You can have make reservations. Sometimes there's not even contact with the landowner. You submit your money over the internet. You sign your agreement over the internet. And arrangements are made for you to have access to the property. It's really not something that would be appropriate in an Ag 5 district, an agricultural district, and, as Mr. McAllister said, a neighborhood. It sounds as though he is kind of caught between wanting to have a leased property or a transient unit on a R5 district, which, again, there's minimum lot sizes, there's minimum, if he's looking to subdivide it, there's also minimum square footage that would have to be considered as well. And I don't think an RV park in an R5 zone would meet the requirements of our town code. So I would just ask the board to consider the applications that's before you today and whether or not it's even appropriate to be before you today, given the fact that he's only looking to put one structure on the property. Thank you.
Those concerns, to me, I hear the concerns, and we're sort of in a position at this point, we rely on the staff.
You're right.
To define for us.
But when this came in as an RV park, I understood this to meet the four-unit threshold with the one park model, and I think there were going to be three lean-tos is what I understood, so I thought the four was being met. But if that's not the case, you know, I don't think the comment is wrong that if you don't meet the definition, you don't meet the definition. Yeah. So,
if that's true, and I don't meet the definition, how would I go about making sure that the RV is in compliance? Or do I have to bump that up to four? What do I plan to do in order to get compliant with the RV park?
Well, let me answer that question this way. You cannot have an RV park or an RV park there for transient use, a single RV park. That does not comply with the zoning. Or I mean a single RV unit. You know, the comment is well taken that it has to be four or more. But it can't be in no instance, not anywhere in the town, can somebody park, you know, like a a camping trailer, a motorhome, and live in it on their lot. That's just not, that's not permitted anywhere.
Okay, so I, so you're essentially saying that I have to bump it up to four in order to come before the board and get the criteria of the camper.
Well,
okay. So
there is another mechanism. There is a use variance, but, and that's the same board, but a use variance is a much different standard, and those tests in a use variance law are not easy. The tests in a use variance are not easy to meet.
That property has to be, in order to grant a use variance, we have to find that the property is unique. You've got a unique problem there. So you need to change the use.
Oh, I see.
And that's a difficult test. That's a very difficult test.
Though those tests are also in the town code. I encourage you to read that in the event you want to consider going that route.
Okay.
That is a difficult standard to meet.
All right.
And even if that, you still have to do some, most of the work that you just informed and haven't done.
Right.
So, because gotcha. The zoning board.
Okay.
Still have to do all right. That as well.
No problem.
Do we have any other public comments? Okay. That's where we're at.
Where we're at.
So, do we want to table this and give you an opportunity to go through this and get up with it? Is that acceptable to you?
Absolutely. I will, so, not that, so I'll get in touch with the surveyor. I can get going on most of these items that are listed here. Sorry, I'm picturing them. The lady that mentioned that if I do reduce it to one, then this isn't there. A valid topic for the zoning board here. Then I'll have to readjust my plans so I can meet that threshold in order to come before you.
I think the way this is going is if you have four more, we can continue to consider the special use permit.
Okay.
If you have less than four, that's a use variance. That's a whole other application. Whole different consideration.
But a lot of the same type of work, though.
Correct.
I would say that if you have a stable and that you work very close to the gym, on the criteria that you need to look at both of these actions and use them as a sounding board to get as much information as you can.
Yeah. Okay, because I mean, honestly, given the feedback from folks here, you know, like I said before, I want to keep it low impact. I don't want to bother my neighbors in any which way. But with that said, you know, Mr. Counselor, I don't necessarily agree that everything is a swamp over there. There's actually pretty nice. It gives it some character. There's a stream that runs through it. It's really nice.
The survey will show that.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, if that's true, and my land is limited, and it's essentially a swamp, does that make it unique? And does that give me some flexibility from...
it's premature.
Yeah, I can't answer that. Yeah, I'll just tell you that the uniqueness is very good.
Okay.
I encourage you to go home and read. It's right in the code under use variances, and there are four tests listed there that the board has to consider before they can grant a use variance.
And if you have any questions, I'm sure Mr. Morgan will be glad to answer.
All right.
And you've heard from the public, you've heard of all concerns.
Yeah, and I'll certainly address those.
Okay, so can we have a motion to table this motion?
I'll make a motion to table appeal number 811.
And I'll second.
How long? Can we just we'll table it until we hear that?
Well, I think there should be some sort of a understanding with the applicant as to what his expectation is for submission. I mean, is it a month, 2 months, 3 months? So we have the benefit of the public here to know. And I would like to get, if I could get at least one person's contact information for an email, and then we can start like a chain, you know, and I'm happy to contact anybody you want me to, but I found that works best if I at least have one, and then it can be, the notifications can spread throughout the neighborhood.
So what's your thoughts on it? Do you want to shoot for next month, or do you want to...
I don't know. I'm not sure how long this takes, how much money it costs. I have a full-time job.
Well, let's table it for a month, and then we'll discuss it at that point.
My sense is it's going to take you longer than a month, given what you have to do.
It will be 2 months.
I would say 2 months, so I think...
Okay.
I'll change our motion if we're going to table it for 2 months.
Second.
Mr. Manning?
Aye.
Mr. Holmes?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye.
Now, please understand, that's an upset limit. If you get it done earlier, that's fine. But that's 60 days.
The date of the next?
Well, that would be a December meeting, which is inherently problematic.
Yeah. Wednesday is the 26th.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Now, should I submit my plans ahead of that meeting?
Oh no, you will be required if the dates were to hold true. I don't know if the 26th is really in the card or not, but the submission date for that would be December 12th.
Okay, and if I have to delay, I can do that too.
Well. What you would need to do is at least submit a letter by then saying that you want additional time, and the board can consider that letter.
And you would, it would explain why and,
right.
And where you're at. You know what I mean? So if you have appeal before, we would just do that again.
All right. Okay.
We want to change our meeting from December to the 19th.
Let's just going to bring that up.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to check to see if there's a conflict for it.
Town board
meeting, all that. So.
Town boards are usually Tuesdays. Usually Wednesday's not a problem, to my knowledge.
Wednesday is all right. The 19th is okay for me.
Yeah, we can.
I just need to know as soon as possible because that affects the submission date, pushing it back to the 5th.
That's what I'm thinking. We pretty much know this the day after Christmas is going to be tough to.
The 19th. Well, we still have November yet, but you're saying for December you want the 19th. Okay.
I think there are people here that would like to know.
If that's when we're going to be having this. Next hearing, yes.
So we'll plan on the 19th. Yeah. All right, the next appeal is appeal number 812, which is a request of Samantha Richardson of 40 Connecticut Avenue. Please hear me, Rose, 128, for special use permit, appeal to Act 149, Article 5, the schedule of regulations for an R21 family residential system.
I can't hear you. Is that a problem?
Yeah, please.
Hello, could you take it? Could you please move the discussion outside? Hello? Hello?
Can you
take it outside?
Sorry.
Not starting over.
Well, we won't have to say that.
All right. Buster Samantha Richie, I don't know where I left off, so. 40 Connecticut Avenue, Greenberg, New York, 12804, for a special use permit pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, and the schedule regulations for an R21 two-family residential district. Application proposing to open an daycare center located at 195 Orlando Road, the property is designated as 50.2-5068 in the town assessment. Okay, I assume this is a daycare.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
Before you start, I have a personal disclosure to make to the board to find out if I have to abstain from the vote. There's an indirect connection between the applicant and my family, meaning that my grandmother is attends her school and has for the last 3 years. There's no monetary connection or anything else, but I just feel I have to I can tell, and let the board know, and I'll let you decide whether or not I should vote or not.
I don't see a problem.
There's no cancer there. Well, there's no cancer before. Well, we appreciate you all the time.
Okay, tell us who you are and what you're planning to do.
My name is Ethel Jarvis, and Samantha Richardson is my daughter. So she's the applicant, but I'm the director, or I'm the director of the daycare. We are here to see if we can get a special permit to open a daycare center. It's a change of use building right now. It's just like a building with offices in it, pretty much. It's not zoned for a daycare through the New York State Licensing Department. We had it surveyed, and we have a site plan with all the children in it. We're ready to comply.
Okay. Have you been before the planning board?
No, we go ahead. That's our next meeting.
That would be the next step.
Yeah, this is the nature of the way these flow is it needs special use permit first before it can go to site plan review. And I didn't get time to prepare the staff notes on this, but my main concern is on the making sure that there's a state license in place for this, because the nature of local codes and its interface with daycare centers has evolved over the years. We used to have a lot more say at the local level, and now the state, with their permitting, there's three levels of daycare in our code. The state basically tracks with that, but they really, you look towards the number of children, the type of children, meaning infants, toddlers, or school age, and then the presence of adequate staff given that type of care being provided. Because obviously, infants and toddlers require more care than you might have for a school age child. So that's the type of thing that needs to be looked at. The presence of safe and fenced play areas, outdoors, adequate parking, certainly safe ingress and egress for parents dropping off and picking up. All that kind of thing is what we're looking for, for a daycare.
Now, this property was before us before.
It's a church.
It was
You guys would know that. I wouldn't, but I wouldn't be surprised. It had a prior use.
Well, that was the plumber's school, and then we had to give. As a school from Hooper. Well, not plumber's, it was electrician. It was electrician. But it was a plumber's. It was a union hall.
Church.
And then it became a church. And then
oh, my.
If I can add, I'm George Deddy. I'm the controller of B&H Construction.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm also, the parcel is owned by Valbert Holdings. Okay, so I can answer basically what has gone on. It belonged to the Carpenters Union. We purchased it through a very protracted issues with the union. We purchased both buildings. B&H occupies the building to the north.
Mm-hmm.
The Homeland Church approached us to have there, and we came before you folks, mm-hmm. and were granted the change of use for them to use it as a church. Financially, they couldn't maintain it. And then what had happened after that, we subsequently rented it to as an office space, which didn't require coming forward for any change of use, because that basically was the original use of it anyway. Regarding the instructional space that's there, there's offices that are designated on the drawings, and then there's what I would call a community room or a room like this where they did some educational work there for the Carpenters Union. So basically, the footprint has been used for different things over the years,
mm-hmm.
and under the designations, I helped these guys put this together, is we're just asking for the change of use, which is for daycare, which is allowed in the zoning area. We're coming to this step first, and then we have to, because I researched this out, as Mr. Martin helped me recently, and so did Mr. Dreimer, is to be able to get to the point where we can get these young ladies before the state. And it requires, basically, for the two processes in Moreau, yours, and I learned subsequently that we have to deal with the planning board. And then at that point in time, they can go back and meet with the designated licensing agency to determine the scope of what is going to be there. My understanding of reading into what the code is whether it's a daycare for 2 children, 10 children, or 20. Your approval is really not predicated on that, from my understanding. It's just to get us to the point where they can come in. The state can come in and say you can only have 12. You can have 15 or 18. But we have to get to there, and that's the purpose of me attending and the young ladies here coming in. I'm more than willing to answer any questions about egress issues, other things that we have, because we're willing to work with them to get through you folks so we can get to the next step. I am not saying that no matter the determination that you make, whether they're going to get there or not, in New York State is quite something to deal with. So, with regards to 195 Fort Edward Road, I'd be more than happy to provide input to help them here. That's why I'm here tonight. We did designate them as our agent, only because in talking to the gal that is in the office over there, she felt that the designation of an agent was appropriate because they're technically looking to be the tenant. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's the way we're going.
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay, no problem.
So essentially what we're doing is to, as far as the details of the daycare, that really is a state license.
That was my point, yep.
So we just send notes.
We have to make changes to the building to make it accessible to open a daycare center. Mm-hmm. So the building as it sits, you can't open a daycare center. There's no fence, there's not a lot of safety.
What are the number of children that you're planning on?
Between 15 and 30.
Okay.
The state has already told us that based on square footage, mm-hmm. but there is a couple things that we have to change that we did learn today, but we are more than willing to share that at any point. Make sure that all
has a safety regulation. So the plan that we're seeing here, I mean,
it's probably the thing that I have.
Is that the
These are the changes.
Okay, so what's there now and what's going to be added?
Okay, so what is there now is, structurally, everything that's there is represented here, but we're adding 4 doors, we're adding common space. And the one room and fenced in. Mm-hmm. We're concerned about
but the building itself is not going to expand.
No, they're only going to add several means of egress, which is going to be required. Okay. And we know there are probably a couple of things that we noticed possibly handicapped with regards to a ramp that we have, and then they're going to request on the south side of the building a fenced-in area that's basically not going to go beyond the footprint front to back, and then just go out and fence that in. Mm-hmm. And the egress that is shown on there, which is designated by the architect as the new doorways, they will go out into the fenced-in area and have that. So the fenced-in area is out of the traffic pattern. It's on an existing lawn now that is mowed and maintained.
Between the two buildings?
No, it is on the south side. The V&H's office is on the north side of the property. So the south side has a maintained grassed-in area, and they're just going to designate a footprint and put it in.
So what I'm looking at here is...
So
V&H
is over here. This is the front of the building right here, the store. Okay, so if I'm looking at it, we're going to walk in. V&H is over here, and the play yard is over here.
I mean, that's, when I look at our standards for approving this, it has to do with how it's moving and so footprint of the building, how it looks, and all this stuff is part of that. And basically, it's going to fit in okay with that neighborhood in that area. And traffic, I think traffic is another issue. Beyond that, I don't think there are anything else that we would be looking at.
I can address the traffic issue. We have a designated entrance and exit due to the sharp turn that is to the north. Okay, so when our property is exited, you actually go out onto the south to leave a better sight line because A, it is a road that is definitely used with speed.
Yeah.
So We actually have some signage that has been there. It's been removed for some snow removal issues. I mean, we're the only ones in and out of there. It's a, you know, an office of five people. We would just make sure that the proper entrance and exit would be maintained. And there actually is two there divided by grass. You just don't drive out onto the road.
So you're planning to do a one-way?
That's already, it's something that's in place. And what we try to do is, unfortunately, but we're going to take it upon ourselves. As you know, the CP Rail crosses there. And unfortunately, nobody, including the town of Monroe or anybody else, maintains the sight line at a railroad grade. So we take it upon ourselves to cut that back with the blessing of our next door neighbor to create a better sight line there. And we'll be fine with it. I tell you, honestly, South Plains Falls school buses turn around in our parking lot quite often. I don't know if they're supposed to or not, but if the school bus can makes it so they can turn around and get out without getting broadsided, I think we won't have an issue with that.
Is there any shared driveways part of that one or anything that sharing driveway with V&H or is that?
Yes, the parking lot is going to be shared with V&H. V&H has five employees that regularly use the offices. Our minimum amount of equipment is stored behind a wooden fence that we built based on our original taking over the property from the Carpenters Union. So what we have, and we only have a wrap truck and some storage things and a few others. Most people don't even see them back there. So they're going to have more than adequate enough parking because we have our lot, and if you see on the drawing, we never even come close to having our number of cars there.
Well, that's a big parking.
It's a big parking.
I was curious if you shared it on this plan.
And we have addressed with them, we don't have any issues with the parking because we don't use what we have.
There's a lot of parking.
Yeah. And again, it's used to the Union Hall, so I know it's as far as, you know,
well, it's the nature of the use that the parking demand comes at two times, you know, when drop off and pick up.
Right. Yeah.
And the rest of the day, there's going to be very few cars there.
Yeah, we were planning, I think that just looking at this, Rob and I looked at that, and if you're looking at 12 to 14 permanent, we're still under what we have space for. And obviously, there'd be designations for handicapped and other items that would be on to that. We don't consider the parking and the entrance and egress out of there to be an issue.
Yeah, parking is mainly drop-offs.
Yeah. And again, it's hard to take you to the neighborhood, though. I mean, obviously, daycare, playground, kids, they shouldn't have an issue with that. Right. And again, like Jim mentioned, the hours of operation are fairly their business hours. We're not doing stuff at midnight, we're not doing stuff on Sundays and Saturdays, so I'm not one.
And the other question is, there may be set operation times, but do all the parents drop them off at the same time and pick them up at the same time?
No, it's not all pleasure. So between I open, we open at 7, and usually it's between 7 and 9.
Yeah,
it's
like
pickup starts probably like 4:30 to 5:30.
It's not all concentrated in a half hour. It's really spread over 2 hours.
It is. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, Fort Hill Road is a busy road, and it's mainly when people don't work or don't home.
Mostly idiots. And kids on
okay.
It seems to be, unfortunately, leaving Sisson Road at the four-way, and that beautiful sweeper turn is great for the kids on sport bikes. So we're waiting to scrape one off the road one day. But the idea is we do. There's going to have to be information put out to our clientele, because. And we will make sure, because I also want to go home at night too, that we'll work with that. We just have the issue with, I mean, we've complained a lot about them not maintaining the right of way properly, which they don't. CP doesn't.
Is that a county road? Yes, that is.
Fort Edward Road, yeah, that's where it is. County maintains it,
yes.
But they will not. It appears to me they will not touch the right away. So we've cut it back over the years.
Mm-hmm. But what I was wondering about would be signage. If you're going to have that much being dropped off, maybe you could go to the county and see if you could get some signage for that area to warn people. Not that people pay attention to signs, but it's just a added.
Well, we actually talked about, because you can get ones to designate for trucks coming out. but we don't have that. Mm-hmm. We have one, and we don't have wheels. Have delivery trucks come in.
But I think there might be something you can do with the county to get some signage, because it does help.
We've got children. You know, that's point well taken, and I can take that and take a look. Other than that, I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
There's got to be an increase in traffic to that, you know, but I think that's just, there's been a steady increase, I'm sure, by that, you know, over the years.
We have much less than what they used to.
It's the nature of the town's growing, and the daycare is not an important part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That growth. So I don't see that as being an issue. But it does seem like you've made provisions for in and out, and you've got room in there. Nobody's going to be sitting on the roadway to be in.
No, definitely not. That's not. Don't have that.
And I think that's important. And as far as location, you know, fitting in with the nature, I mean, that's this building, being an office or a school or whatever, so I think it fits. It's not even our, it's a residential neighborhood, but it's just a natural residential use.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the septic, your system can accommodate the increased load?
We're not worried about it at all.
Okay.
One thing is that you know, the further review process that the state is going to have, we don't have any issues with that. We're a 7:30 to 4:30 business with just a few people. You know, we don't, you know, like I said, and we don't have a lot of traffic. And, you know, use on that is not.
Is the septic system there the one that was there originally?
Yeah. We did replace the well pump.
I'm just wondering what the state will require, having quite a bit of involvement in that type of buildings and stuff in my dad. I think you're going to have good detail what that septic is.
Well, yeah,
sure
it was put in,
that would
have been put in based on square footage.
Right, but still, they'll have to have, yeah.
Well, we would have, in addressing that, we would have felt that when the addition, which remember, they are basically using what is the expanded piece of that property, mm-hmm. that all of that was addressed then, because there was a lot more people, a lot more use to the second. So we don't feel that there's increased usage based on an administrative point. Whether the system fails or not, that's us. Mm-hmm. But from an administrative and looking at it, it's basically going back to the use it probably had before we had it with traffic, amount of people, foot traffic.
But again, I think that really has to do with the state and the licensing and all that.
Yeah, they'll be awesome.
I'll be looking at that, I'm sure.
They'll actually be reviewing what was presented to you folks, because that's a preliminary concept. They would have to also have their stamp of approval with regards to what changes we made. Mm-hmm. We did research out, and I want to thank you for pointing me in the right direction. We did get the information from the town of Rome that we do not have to sprinkle the building, and we're understanding that the state will be in agreement with that. Obviously, sprinkling this building with a well would be a huge issue. So we seem to be fine, because we've got the determination from Mr. Grunley that we're good to go there.
That's based on headcount or
we're adding a door with the sprinkler system. So each room the child is living in, there's going to be a door.
You're adding a door.
So then the egress covers it.
And then egress offsets that
door. You got it. And as soon as we presented what was presented to us, it was basically pushed through that. We obviously wouldn't have come here tonight if we had that issue outstanding. So we feel we're right where we need to be right now.
And then, Gary, in terms of the seeker, I recommend you defer to the planning board on the, we'll take up the seeker at that time for the assessment. Because it's a coordinated review. If you have any comments you want to pass on to the board, that would be reflected in your resolution. But I would recommend the coordinated review with them.
Makes sense to me. Why is seeker required?
Because you require it.
It's not us. It's the state of New York. It's an unlisted action, so it's a short form. But still, I just defer.
We're prepared for that for the November meeting.
It doesn't make sense.
Luckily, we don't have to. These young ladies don't have to incur costs for it. But I've already in anticipation of the planning board looking at it, we should be fine.
So all we need to do is have a motion to refer the seeker to the planning board.
Well, I think when you're a motion of decision, you can do that.
And that's what you told us.
Yeah.
Do we have any comments beyond? Board, do we have any more questions?
Hope nobody in opposition?
I think it's a perfect idea.
It's okay to say that too.
I'm just, my only objection is I hauled my little bugger kids' butts to daycare for years because my wife is a teacher. Wow. If they did this many years ago, I could have brought them work.
Yeah, just a few years too late.
A few years too late. But thank you.
Well, it's a much needed thing.
Oh,
yeah. All right, and I would entertain that we've reviewed the standards, which basically have to do with traffic and have to do with the neighborhood.
And the harmony with the neighborhood.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think we've agreed that both of those standards are met. So, can we have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the special use to call it the zoning board. The seeker will be reviewed at that time. I'd also like to make a note as far as the designated one-way at entrance and exit and the foul door fence area. I just think the nature, egress, if we do have a drill, that needs to be addressed. So,
and to comply with all other safety regulations.
The specific nature of the, I would just recommend you're going to defer lead agent status in the seeker review to the planning board.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. So your motion basically is saying that we are concerned about the traffic.
I think those two caveats in place with the one-way entrance and the fence, I think that alleviates those safety concerns.
Second. Any further discussion? Would you poll the board, please?
Mr. Manning?
Aye.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Thank you.
See how exciting this is? It gets one step out of the way.
I'll tell you, these young ladies, after the gentleman that had to go before them, will probably sit there. Maybe we should just leave.
So that was the defer lead agent status, one-way access, and exterior fence, right? For the playground.
Have a good evening, gentlemen.
Thank you.
There was some question about the comp plan, just so everybody hears it. I talked to Todd. He's going to try and get it on to the board to approve it next meeting. Certainly by the end of the year, so we can formally start the revision of the zoning code. Yes, they're required to. It'll be noticed. And my suggestion for the approach to the revision of the zoning code is like we did with the comp plan. Both boards work on it jointly, and I'll work with you on the sections as we write them and get your comments, and you review it, and we have that same exchange. Because these two boards work mostly with the code. I know Kevin's had an interest in zoning since how many years now?
20.
Yeah, too many. So you guys will be actively involved on the code rewrite. Yeah, I remember that.
That was how many years ago.
I'm working on it. That the ball's in my court.
Okay.
All right. That's point well taken. Yep.
Are they going to have a group meeting?
There's four.
They're willing to start up and all that was
going. Yeah, I think it would be appropriate if we could arrange it. I'm going to suggest to Todd to have a joint meeting of the three boards as a kickoff.
Yeah. So we can get kind of a feel of what each other's issues are.
Yeah, get an exchange of ideas and then once we do that, at every meeting we'll have a spot on the agenda to talk about it.
Yes.
All right, and whatever section we're working on. There's something I'd like you to give thought to now. On the zoning, if you recall, there was a complete revision done. I think it was 2009. And it was never adopted.
Never done that? No, no.
A new map, everything.
That was approved in
1910.
Yeah. Yep. And there was probably some good stuff in there. So my point is, we don't have to. I don't want to recreate the wheel. If there were some good ideas that were in there, I want to keep them. So give some thought to that. I'll try and dig out that code. I think I got a copy of it. I can make a copy for you and you can look at it. Are we adjourned? Yes. Thank you.